Hey, we're so glad to see each and every one of you today. Good morning. Hope everybody is doing all right. Hey, look at somebody over there. Give them a wave, a wink, a nod, whatever it may be. I know that this is one of those days when most people just didn't want to get out of bed this morning. You know, just rainy. And, of course, I guess it's been that way for about the last year, hadn't it? I mean, it just seems like it hadn't stopped raining. But at any rate, old devil likes for it to be a day like today when it comes time for God's people to get together. But nonetheless, we're so glad that you're here. If you are part of our online audience, we're glad you're with us today. Be sure to say hello to Dr. John Cazito, who monitors our online audience. And we're so glad for all that John does. And he's one of those behind-the-scenes heroes, as I call him. But we're so glad that you're here today. Let's begin in a word of prayer as we go to worship this morning. Father, we come to you again, grateful and thankful again for this time that we have to be able to come together. Lord, thank you for those who have taken the opportunity today to be able to gather with like-minded believers, Lord, to open your word, to be around you. And Lord, we're so grateful that your word tells us that when we gather together, you are there in the midst. And today, Lord, you have a personal message for each and every one of us through your word. Lord, regardless of where we are in life, what age, what phase, no matter where it is, your word is truly alive. It's a living word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So today, Father, we just come to you seeking you. And Lord, we know that we're promised in your word that where we seek, we will find. Today, we pray, Father, that you will reveal yourself to us. And that, Lord, we wouldn't allow things to get in the way. Father, we know it may be a busy day. There may be things that are on our hearts and on our mind. May we truly be able to put those things aside that we could focus upon you during this time that we have come together to you know, Lord, to praise you and to seek you and, Lord, to hear from you. And as your word has said, may you give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to each of us today. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, one of the things that we had kind of mentioned to you is we're making preparation, and like I said, I guess we're probably about midways in our preparation for our team that is going to Cuba. One of the things that we started mentioning last week is that each and every one of the guys that go, or gals, but in this case it's all guys, we raise our money outside of the church, you know, to be able to go on this trip. And that was $1,500 is what each of the six guys raised to be able to go. And what we do, though, is our church has always supported the ministry, the mission ministry, as we go out. So, yeah, historically, what we do is around the month before we leave, we will ask you to contribute to the ministry that's getting ready to take place. In this case, it's Cuba. I mentioned just a few of the items that we have on our budget to perpetuate ministry that was started, over the last 18 years. One of the things I'm grateful for is that we just don't go over there and say, here's what we're going to go over there and do. We've always believed at Central Baptist, where the Lord leads us, he's led us there to stay there until such time that he sees otherwise. And just the incredible amount of things that God has done through our teams, not with just the hands-on ministry, but in going over there and being able to support them so that ministry continues on even after we leave. The countless number of lives that have been touched, whether they're children, whether they're adults, youth, whatever the case may be, has been something that stories are written about. It's just been amazing, and we try as best we can to share those with you when we get back. But it's just so hard to share them unless you have that opportunity to see them firsthand. But at any rate, we're in that time right now where we are asking our church to give towards our Cuba mission. And once again, every bit of what you give goes to that ministry. We take all of that with us. We have a fairly aggressive budget. We're somewhere, I'm going to call it between $75 and $8,100. Now, there's certain things that are floating around. We are prayerful, and I'm going to ask that you make this part of your prayers. We actually have to take four tires with us. It is so bad. Literally, they don't have a tire store. They can't go out and get those. And they're a special tire. So we've already secured the purchase of the tires, but getting them there is the problem. So what essentially that means is that we're going to have a carry-on bag, extra carry-on bag, to take those tires. The problem is that's $200 per bag times four tires. That's $800. Well, right now I'm sitting there going, if we can find a bag big enough, we're going to put two per bag because that puts you right at 50 pounds or a little bit over. And then we could cut that in half. So it'd still be $400 that we would have to pay just to carry them with us to Cuba, not to mention the price of the tires. So as you can see, we've got a challenging budget ahead of us. And what we are not able to get through the church, then we're going to have to determine what ministries we have been doing over the past 18 years that we will not be able to support. So again, we ask prayerfully that you seek the Lord in what he would have for each and every one of us to do concerning this. I know for a fact that there are going to be people who you will see in heaven someday that will say, hey, I want to thank you for what you did, because what you did allowed me to hear the gospel message and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. So don't negate the importance of your support in a financial way. As always, we want you to support us prayerfully. We need that more than anything, because God makes a way. I mean, we're not worrying. We're just going to, as old boy says, we're going to play the hand that we get dealt. We're going to take what you provide as the Lord leads, and then we're going to do ministry with that as we go. We're excited about being able to do that. Once again, the date on that is March the 10th through the 17th. March the 10th through the 17th. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the names of our team members so that you can pray for them. We have a team of six that are going. The team members will include Ken Allred, Steve Kelly, Jeff Willard, Mike Stone, Jim Scott, and myself. Once again, Ken Allred, Steve Kelly, Jeff Willard, Mike Stone, Jim Scott, and Roy Carter. I usually go over there and get preached to death, but the fun part is we got another preacher going with us, Jim, so I'm going to preach him to death too. We might, unless we divide and conquer. It depends on what happens. We might go different ways depending on what Pastor Donis tells us. And if you ever want to know what Pastor Donis looks like, if you know J.C. Williams, you know what Pastor Donis looks like, because they could be twin brothers. I've always said that before. But at any rate, please keep us in your prayers. That's what we need more than anything. If you do so choose to make a financial gift to Cuba while you're here, you can just get one of the offering envelopes. I think there's some in the back of your pew. There's some out in the narthex. And on that envelope, all you have to do is write Cuba on that. We will make sure that gets designated to Cuba, and we will take every bit of that with us when we go to do this ministry and to meet this budget. If you are part of our online audience, you don't have a church home, or the Lord leads you to give, you can do that. On the screen, you can see our website. You can go there. There's a tab called Giving. If you click that, there's another area under there called Missions, and there's actually one that's labeled Cuba, so you can click that. And once again, all these gifts are tax deductible to a 501c3, and we will utilize every single bit of what you give towards ministry as we go to Cuba. And then we can't wait to get back and report what God will do. So, well, let me do this before Brad comes up to lead us in worship. I just want to have a prayer time for our team as we prepare to go. Let's pray together. Father, as we once again come into your presence, we do so asking that your grace be bestowed upon us. Lord, as these men and this team prepare to be able to go on mission for you, we're asking that you are already preparing the hearts of those that we will come in contact with. Lord, that you'll take us to the places that we need to go, that we'll see the people that we need to see. Lord, that your work and your will may be accomplished. Father, we pray that there will be people who will come to know you because of the efforts and endeavors of not only the team members, but Lord, the sending church, Central Baptist Church. Lord, I'm praying that you will lead the hearts of those who are hearers of your word, Lord, those that are members of our church, and those that are friends and acquaintances of the church. Lord, may you lead them to support this team in such a fashion that we will be able to accomplish the ministry that you have set before us. Lord, we realize that you own the cattle of 1,000 hills, and there's nothing that is too great for you.
And although this may seem like a challenging budget for us, you are in the middle of it. So, Father, we will take what you give us and we will use it in a way that seems most right and most pleasing to you as we go forward. So, Father, just bless this team. Father, each of these men and their families, Lord, we're asking for health and safety and protection for each of them, as well as their families while they're gone. And Lord, may you do something special and incredible along the way, not only in the lives of those that will be serving as missionaries for you, but Lord, in the lives of those that we will have contact with while we're there. And may each and everything be done for your honor and for your glory, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Roy, good morning. As a follow-up to that, I was blessed to get to see 10 or 15 of our ladies yesterday preparing for the mission trip. They were cutting felt and folding and about to sew. So anyway, it was just good to see other folks behind the scenes preparing for that. So I thought I'd mention that since I got to be out here yesterday. If you would please turn with me to hymn number 61, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Please stand with me as we sing.
Folks, we're going to be looking at passages in God's Word today that come out of 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and head in that direction, 2 Peter chapter 3. And today I want us to, for a few moments, consider, take something into perspective. Now, we've heard that before, and often we understand what somebody's talking about when they say, well, what is your perspective? How do you feel about it? How do you look at something? And today, what I want us to think about is, what is our perspective on temporary versus permanent? Now, when we think about what the definitions of those things are, that's not a tough thing. You know, something that is temporary. I've asked that question before. I said, well, what does temporary mean? And people say, well, that means that it's not permanent. It's temporary. It means it's just for a short period of time. Okay? Well, then what does permanent mean? Now, permanent means that it's there forever. Now, the perspective part that I'm talking about, when we talk about temporary versus permanent, deals with eternity rather than life. Because most of the time, when we are talking about temporary and permanent, we are talking about it in the realm that we know about it, in maybe our lifetime. You know, when somebody says a lifetime guarantee, that doesn't mean an eternal guarantee, but it means a lifetime guarantee. And it might just be for your lifetime. Some of y'all have probably had that before. You said, well, it's got this lifetime guarantee on it. And then you bought something from somebody and they said, yeah, it was for the lifetime of the other person that bought it, not yours. So it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the product itself, and a lot has to do with the person. Now, why do we want to have a good perspective on this? Because here's something that we need to understand, that it is foolish to invest everything that we have here on earth. Now, why? Because everything that you and I have, everything that you and I do is tied to time. Have you ever thought about that? And here's the kicker that we don't often think about. Time is temporary. Now, how many, you've probably used this expression before. We have all the time in the world. No, you don't. We have a limited amount of time. Yeah, but what happens is we get so fixated on what life is like. You know, we sit back and say, well, you know, it's been thousands of years, and, you know, my life is going to come into play, and I'm going to, you know, live it. I'm going to, you know, have a family, and I'm going to pass on, and I'm going to move on. And we view things, whether we say it or not, like that's the end of things. But it's not. And folks, whether you are a born-again believer or not, you are going to have all of eternity to spend in some place. Now, everything that you and I have is relative to time. And we don't have all of the time in the world whatsoever. So the Lord gave us some very wise advice on investing. Now, too often what happens is, you know, I'm not good at investing. I'm not good at that. I have people for that. You know, if you're not good, David Bowman's over here. He can talk to you about that. And you go over there and give him your money, and he'll take good care of you. You know, he'll get you in some funds, and, you know, you'll see some growth when all the politics is right and all is right with the world. And otherwise, you bite your fingernails and ride it out. But anyway, you guys know what that's like. You know, if you don't know how to wisely invest, then you get wise counsel on how to do so. Well, the Lord gave us some pointers on investing when it comes down to our lives. So one of the questions I have for you today is this. How are you investing your life relative to eternity? Because right now we have a short period of time. There are several places throughout God's Word where He says things like, you know, time is short. You know, man's life is 70. That's about 70 years. If you remember back in the days of the Old Testament, there used to be folks that lived to be old. Methuselah was 969 years old. We're not making it that far. Yeah, it doesn't work out that way. We're not living that long anymore. And the Lord has shortened life, which means for us, we sit back and we look at things and we think, well, yeah, we're investing for the period from when we're born to the period when we die. No. Because the problem is, if that's where your investing is coming in, it's going in the wrong places. So we get some wise advice in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. And look with me, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're actually going to begin reading at verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we just ask that your word would spring forth to life in our hearts. Lord, I pray that today you would help each and every one of us to get the proper perspective on this thing called time. And Lord, these things that are temporary in our lives right now, Lord, may we truly understand the difference between temporary and permanent when it comes down to your kingdom Father, today, may you speak to our hearts. May you alleviate stresses and pressures, and may you give us encouragement today. And Lord, as always, we pray that if there's one that doesn't know you, that today you would convict that heart and give them the courage to trust you with all of eternity by giving their life to you. So Lord, just bless this, your servant, for these moments that we will have to spend in your word together. May you and you alone be exalted and heard today from this pulpit, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this particular passage, Peter is calling for us to make a wise investment. So when we look at investments, there are some that are wise, there are some that are foolish. And even if you may not be a professional investment counselor or whatever, I'm sure there have been times in your life when you have seen somebody getting ready to make a foolish investment. Maybe you had a child, and all of a sudden, you know, they were looking through the rose-colored glasses and saw something that they wanted, and they were all excited about it. And then, you know, they ask you, "Oh, what do you think?" You know, they pull up maybe in a and say, "I want to buy this car. You know, it's a, you know, whatever, really old car. It's about to fall apart. It's leaking oil all over the driveway and everything else." And you, being a little wiser, go out there and you look and you go, "I don't know if I would invest in that." And then all of a sudden, you look like Johnny Raincloud. You know, they're like, "Well, you just don't want me to have this." Yeah, and sometimes everything just flies out the window. The reason and the logic just goes away, because we want it, and we want it right now. Now, the thing about it is, as a believer, the Lord tells us that all of these things are going to pass away. All of the possession, and listen, possessions are deceptive, aren't they? We like, here's a big word, big spiritual word. We like stuff, right? How many of y'all like stuff? It's okay. Yeah, listen, you know, it's good. We're not going to hammer you for that. I like stuff. But do you keep stuff in the right perspective? Is your whole life about how much stuff you can accumulate? Is everything that you do about how much more you can gander around you for something that is temporary? And you sit back and say, "Well, you know what? I plan on living to be a ripe old age." Well, let me give you another perspective. The Lord says one day in heaven is as 1,000 years on earth. Where are my 1,000-year-olds? Where's the 1,000-year-old club in here? Not a single one of you. In fact, if you made it a tenth, one-tenth of the way, you'd be 100, and we would say, "Wow, one person's lived a good long life." You'd be a centurion, and people would be going, "Oh, man, you must have something going on in life really good." That's one-tenth of a thousand years. And the Lord says, one day in heaven. So is that helping us understand perspective? So therefore, if we have that perspective and we begin to understand that, then we should not be deceived by possessions in this day and age, in the age of grace in which we live. We cannot let that dictate our life. Now, I'm going to get personal for a few minutes. How many of us let that happen? How many of us allow the Lord's day? Again, by the way, folks, listen, coming to church don't get you to heaven. That's not what gets you there. Knowing Jesus gets you to heaven. But why is it that we have so much trouble carving out time for Jesus? "Well, you know, I'd make it to church today, but this new jacket that I got can't get wet and it's raining." Let me tell you something. If you're going to allow those type things to happen, Satan will let it rain on your parade every day. What are the things that are hindering you? Listen, the last time I checked, according to God's word, God's people should enjoy coming together, should enjoy the fellowship of one another, should enjoy singing songs of praise to Him. This is the time of the week when we are able to come together with as like-minded individuals to love on each other. And yet, what do? We're often critical. This whole world has become critical. We criticize everything, don't we? How was your meal? It was cold. Oh, okay. Yeah. What'd you think about this? I didn't like it. We have just become professional criticizers. And we're all guilty. Don't be looking around at your spouse. You're guilty too. Every last one of us are. Society has dictated that it's okay to do. Are we being deceived by our possessions? Is it more important than Jesus? That's the real litmus test. And by the way, folks, some would say, well, preacher, do you expect people to be in church every time the doors are open? Yes, I do. Well, gosh, you just expect too much. There you go, criticizing again. No, we should enjoy that. That should be something we long for. To come together in our small group Sunday schools or Bible studies and be able to gather around and make the time. Folks, you have time for what you make time for. Did you hear me on that? And all God's people said, you have time for what you make time for, because you don't have time for anything else. Time is a valuable commodity in our society, even more valuable than money. And yet, we are deceived by possessions. Look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it. Here's part of our problem. We cannot fathom that happening in our society in 2023. We think that is something that's going to happen way on down the road. You know, we don't think about the fact that the trumpet could sound and the Lord could call us all out of here at any moment right now, because if we did, we would be living in a different manner. We would have a different set of priorities. If I knew today, if Jesus himself walked in the door today and came up here and stood before you guys and said, look, let me tell you something. About the time of the Super Bowl kickoff tonight, I'm going to call all my people out of here. Some of them be going, no, I got to see if the Eagles are going to win. Or the Chiefs, can you come at halftime? Or maybe at the end of the game? See, we would always want a little bit more time, wouldn't we? Some of us have been in those circumstances and situations before when your future was unsure. Well, you didn't know that you were going to make it. Some people may have had a near-death experience before, and all of a sudden life takes on a completely different perspective. The Lord is telling you, okay, listen, Jesus didn't walk in and stand up behind this pulpit and audibly tell you that it could be at kickoff time tonight, but Roy is telling you it could be exactly that. It could be before that. You could be out of here just like that. You could walk away from this place today, or maybe even not walk away from this place today, and a heart attack take you out of here. You could get the bad news from the doctor, when you go in tomorrow, or you get those tests that say you've got a terminal illness and you only have a short amount of time. You see, what changes our perspective is thinking about how little time we have. But folks, we don't know how much time we have. And therefore, we must live as if these were our final moments. God has promised us this moment, and that is all, hasn't he? But why do we have such a hard time when we look at that verse and when you think about the devastation that comes out of verse 10? It says, but the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, there's another place in the New Testament scriptures that tell us this. It says that he will come as a thief in the night. He said, now, if the good man of the house had have known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. And he says, but no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will return. So we must be ever ready. You know, if I was going to rob your house, I'm not going to come up to you and say, Nancy, I'm going to come by and rob your house at about 2:30 in the morning. That's probably when you're sleeping the best, right? 2:30 in the morning, I'm going to sneak in and I'm going to steal all your stuff. And Nancy's sitting back going, well, you know what? The preacher ain't never lied to me. I got a feeling he's going to be showing up about 2:30 in the morning. And he wants to take my stuff. Let him come on in. Because I'm going to dispatch him. See, if you would have known, if you knew somebody was going to come steal from you, you would make every concession available to make sure it didn't happen, wouldn't you? We got cameras, we got Ring doorbells, we got all kinds of stuff to protect our stuff, which is temporary. And the Lord's saying, I'm coming. I'm not telling you when. So what that means is you need to be ready right now. But are we being deceived? Are we allowing the temporal things of this temporal life to distract us from the more important things? Let me make you a promise and hear me well in this moment. Only the things that are done for the Lord are going to make it through eternity. Did you get that? God doesn't care how big your house is. God doesn't care how green your grass is. He doesn't care what model vehicle you drive. You know what he's more concerned about? What are you doing for the kingdom's sake? Now, and listen, there's going to be a lot of people get mad about that. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If God didn't want me to have it, he wouldn't have allowed me to have gotten it. Well, I mean, no, but you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. If God has allowed you what he's allowed you, then have you been a good enough steward with it that he would allow you even more? I've had people come to me before, and they've talked to me about tithing and different things to that nature, and they've said to me, they said, well, you know, tell me about this tithing thing. And I said, look, if God can't trust you with what he's already given you, how would he ever trust you with anything more? Why should he trust you with anything more? How about showing him that you can be faithful with what he's given you? And let me tell you something. I have watched God take a little something and make it into a big something. That's theological, isn't it? He takes a little something and makes it into a big something. He's taken little amounts that have been invested for him and made them into huge investments for him. But where are you investing? Are we deceived? Are we not thinking about the fact that one day the heavens and the earth are going to pass away? Are we not thinking about the fact that at any moment God could call us up together to meet him in the air following the dead, because the dead in Christ rise first and then the rest of us will be caught up? That could happen right now. Or are we too busy being focused this way, or are we focused this way? Because let me make you a promise. This word has never been wrong, and it's not wrong now. It's going to happen. So what are we giving our Savior in reference to our life? We always talk about, well, I gave my life to Jesus. Well, if you did, why are you still running it? How about letting him take care of it? How about being where he wants you to be? How about investing in what he wants you to invest with? And I will make you a promise. They will be kingdom endeavors. He's got a place for you. Well, preacher, I'm not like you. I can't stand up in front of people and talk to them. Well, okay, that's cool. God didn't call everybody to be a preacher. You know what? He called some people to shake hands. He called some people to the ministry of hospitality. He's called other people to sing in a choir. He's called other people to play an instrument. And it's when we all come together that things work out really cool. He's called some to drive vehicles for him. He's called some to help transport people around. There are 10 million ways that you can do ministry with the talent that God has given you. So the question is, are you doing it? Are you investing for the other side? Did you hear me? The other side. Not this side. The other side. Listen, when you show up to Awana every week and you listen to a little kid say their verse, you're investing for the other side. When you sing in the choir with all of your heart, with the voice that God's given you, you're investing for the other side. When you pick up your, your Bible and read it, you get the directions. You know what? When you sit back and you put a smile on your face and you shake somebody's hand, you're investing for the other side. And God doesn't just call us to do that on Sunday. He calls us to do that every moment of our life. To give that kind word. I've shared before that there's an individual that I know that at one point said that he was in such a depression in his life that for somebody to have come and said to him, just to tell him, I love you, would have been a huge change in his life at that particular moment. You know what? There's people out there that are like that. And what do? We gripe at them. We complain. We live for the temporal rather than the permanent. We find ourselves led astray by possessions. Peter urges us to look ahead at the coming of the Lord, to look upward. Because when we look upward, that reveals the permanent nature. When we look outward, that reveals the temporary nature. What will your possessions be worth when Christ returns? Oh, mercy. I mean, when Christ comes back, are you going to stand before him with your savings account book and go, hey, hey? Are you going to sit back and say, check out my house? Are you going to look and say, look what I'm driving? You know what God's going to say? Huh? Yeah, it's like that old joke. And y'all have heard me reference it, but I say it a lot because it's so true. Remember the guy who said he wanted to take his possessions with him to heaven, and again, this is just a joke. It says when he arrived up there, he had all of his money and everything with him and was sitting there just, you know, playing with all the coins and everything else. And then what was funny was as he was walking down the street pushing all of his riches with him, everybody was looking at him kind of funny. And then what happened was when two fellows was walking by in heaven and saw him, and they said, hey, man, check this guy out. He brought up a load of pavement. The streets are gold in the kingdom. So all the stuff that we are killing ourselves in this life to have possession-wise don't amount to a hill of beans in the kingdom of heaven. It's dirt. And yet, we will prioritize everything above what God would have us to do. Well, if I do that, it's going to be costly. Yep, it is. If I do that, I may not be at the social status or economic status of where I would like to be. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But you know what? I will promise you. You know, I said a little while ago that as we get ready to go on this trip, I believe with all of my heart that after 18 years, there's going to be people in heaven that are going to come up to you and say, you know what, I wanted to thank you for contributing because, you know, at that revival that Roy preached in 2020 in Duke Aroe, Cuba, he came to my house and had a chance to talk with me and pleaded with me to receive Christ, and I wouldn't do it. But I went to church that night. And I gave my life to Jesus when he preached that particular night. And you know what? He wouldn't have been here if it hadn't been for you. If it hadn't been for you sending him. And you might sit back and say, well, you know what? I only gave like $20. Well, guess what? You got to participate in what God did. Plain and simple. And some people sit back and they look at that like that. And I say, well, okay, well, let me put it to you this way. If I go up here to the grocery store and I get a roast that costs $20. And I go up and they slide it across that little scanner thing and they say that's $20 plus tax, of course. And I say, I have 15. You know what they're going to say? I said it's going to be $20 plus tax. Well, all I got's 15. Well, if all you got's 15, you ain't buying this roast. Right? Well, think about that in regard to the kingdom. It's important how you invest, how you invest your time. Are you looking for the things that are permanent? Because there's deception in possessions. And there's also the dissolving of possessions. Look at me at verse 10 and 11 again. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, that means something's following. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved. Do you see it? I didn't make that up. What does dissolve mean? Just like Alka-Seltzer. Y'all took Alka-Seltzer before? You throw it in a glass and it just bubbles right on away, doesn't it? It is no more. It says, therefore, verse 11, since all these things, what are all these things? Your stuff. All your stuff. We can insert that there. Therefore, since all your stuff will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's a pretty poignant question, isn't it? Since all your stuff's going to go away from you, since all your status is going to go away from you, and all your riches are going to go away from you, how should you live during this time of life that God has given us? How should you conduct yourself? You see, here's what I'm afraid of today. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people who are investing in an account that's going to go away. It's going to crash. They're putting all their stock in what is temporal rather than what is permanent. Now, I'm not a financial investment counselor, but I am a soul investment counselor. So I'm here today to go over is it a prospectus? Is that what you call it, David? A prospectus with you. Now, the Holy Spirit has come in and joined me here today and is sitting down with your prospectus in your life. And as you evaluate what's going on, the question remains, are you investing in the temporal or are you investing in the permanent? Listen, see, all I can do is advise you. When I went down, talked to David, he said, that's up to you. It's your money. You can put it where you want to put it. This is a good recommendation. I would recommend you put it here. Let me show you the prospectus. This account has done this much. A lot of it I don't understand. I'm a simple-minded person, but plus is more than negative. Oh, it's plus over the year. Good. That looks good to me. So I took the advice of my investment counselor. I'm begging you today, because all of eternity depends on whether or not you take the advice of the soul counselor today. I am begging you not to invest in the temporal, the things of this world. But I am begging you to invest in the things that are permanent, the things that are going to make it to the other side. Where are you investing? See, I don't know that. The Holy Spirit has told you that. Where are you investing? Verse 11, therefore, since all these things, let me tell you, this temporal fund is going to disappear. It is going to dissolve. It is going to go away. It is going to be absolutely nothing, and I will guarantee you 100% it's going away. If I sat down with David and he told me, you can invest in this fund if you want to, but I will make you a promise. I will stake everything that I am and everything that I own on the fact that next year this fund will be worth zero. Do you think I'm going to sit back and go, should I invest in that one? No. But on the same hand, if he told me, he said, I will also make you the same guarantee. I'd bet the farm that if you invest here, it will have 1,000% growth as you go forward. I'd be like, okay. Well, you know what? Unlike a financial advisor, I'm going to make you a guarantee today. David can't promise me 1,000% growth on my funding, but I can promise you 1,000% growth that's going to last you all the way throughout all of eternity. The things that you invest for eternity are going to last for all of eternity. I promise. Well, that's a bold statement. Yes, it is. Well, see, I've read the prospectus, and it's right. I've read the end of the book, and I know how it's going to turn out. You want a sure bet? You cannot miss with this one. You won't miss investing your life in Jesus. I ain't talking about on Sunday. I'm not talking about people who are going to skip church tonight because the Super Bowl's on. That's a football game. That's going to pass away. And some of y'all getting mad at me. That's all right, get mad at me. I had people in the past, years past, are we going to cancel tonight because of the Super Bowl? No! And listen, I know what you do. You got cell phones, you got sports apps, you're following it, you ain't missing but a few minutes of it. Man, one time I thought somebody was getting holy back there. Yes, I see that hand. Now listen, folks, I'm not trying to be hard on you, but I'm trying to be truthful with you. Go back to verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, you also realize there's a comma after that because it goes on into verse 12. It says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteous dwell. You know what? I know where I'm going. I've gotten my ticket punched. I have trusted in the Lord. And I will tell you this, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if he decided to call us all on out of here now. Not one single bit. Because heaven's my home. That's where I'm laying up my treasures. I'm trying to send all my stuff on up into heaven, because only the stuff that's done for him is going to last. Listen, I'm not telling y'all have to go on mission trips. You can. Hey, we'll take you. I will promise that'll change your life. Tell you what else will happen. You go on this trip coming up, I promise you're going to come back with a whole new appreciation for America and a whole new appreciation for freedom. And a whole new appreciation for those who have stood in the gaps, the military. Yeah, we support the military around here. Go team. Only the things done for him are going to last. Where are you laying up treasures? Where are you putting your investments today? Because the temporary things, they're going to pass away. They're going to dissolve like an Alka-Seltzer. So where are you? Has your life been centered on temporary trinkets? Small little things. If you've realized that today, the question is, are you ready to move to a Christ-centered living? Will you begin to live with eternity's values in your view instead of simple daily values in your view? That's a big question. That is a major question. You see, it's easy for all of us to find ourselves living for the temporal. It's very easy. Satan tries to just suck us into everything. We are the busiest people. How many of y'all busy? I like what some of y'all said before. How many of y'all retired? How many of y'all still say I'm busy? Some people said, I got to get me a job. I got to go back to work. I'm busier when I'm retired. And then there's some that enjoy retirement. Hallelujah, Mark. Mark's like, I ain't busy. I ain't worried about it. If you need some tips on how to enjoy retirement, talk to Mark. He can hook you up right there. But we're busy. I mean, yeah, the thing about it, but what are we killing ourselves for? Something that's not going to matter? I want to ask this, and then I want to kind of bring us to a close. Have you ever worked so hard and put in so many hours on something only to have somebody not appreciate it or not use it later on? And you sit back and said, man, I spent all this time and effort and energy and money and worry and sleepless nights and all these things, and nobody cared. I ain't doing that again. Yeah, you would. But see, here's the thing. God has promised us all this stuff that we are killing ourselves for in 2023 is going to go away. Gone. Money, houses, cars, prestige, status, whatever you want to call it. Clothing, your outfit, you ain't taking it with you. I'm getting a new body. Ain't going to have no defects. Going to be good looking. I'm going to be able to sing. I'm going to sing in heaven's choir. Because the earthly ones won't take me. But heaven's going, it's going to tune me up and I'm going to be good. Looking forward to it. Do not lose your life. Do not lose reward in heaven because you're too busy with the temporal things. So busy that you overlook the things of God. Are we really making time for Him and for what's important? Not just on Sunday. Listen, man, there are so many people that can't even make time on Sunday for God. Oh, I'm too busy. I've got this. I've got that. I've got ball practice. I've got that. I don't think you're going to be playing no ball in heaven. Oh, I have struck a nerve. It's important. It's important. Now, folks, I'm not saying that God doesn't get it when you go on vacation, but let me ask you this. When you go on vacation, do you find a house of worship or a place that you can go hear the Word of God? I do. Because it's important to me. I like to meet more of my family members. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. How you doing? One day, while we were on vacation, I actually got to know the chaplain of the campground. And I actually got to serve communion out on the pier. And believe it or not, in that campground, there was like 200 people up there for a service. And he was doing a baptism. He's like, man, he goes, I don't know if I actually did this right or not, but he said, I got communion and baptism today. He says, will you help me? I was like, yeah, what do you want? Treasures. He said, well, if I get ready to do baptism, could you do communion? I was like, I got this. Not my first rodeo on that one. And he says, when y'all get done with communions, have everybody come over to the side of the pier because we'll be down there and that's where we're going to do the baptisms. That was a cool day. So we did the communion and I said, all right, folks. I said, we got baptisms yet. Yeah, come on over to the side. There they are. It's fun. Serving Jesus has been fun. I haven't had a job in 30 years. That don't mean I don't want to get paid for what I'm doing, but I haven't had a job in 30 years. It's a calling. Where are your treasures? First of all, I'm asking you this question very pointed today. You know, if I don't do what God has called me to do as a pastor from this pulpit, if I don't preach Jesus, then I'm held accountable for that. You know, if somebody that's listening to me today doesn't hear that they need Jesus and doesn't have an opportunity, that's my fault. And if their life should end today, then that blood's on my hands. Well, I'm walking away from here today with clean hands. Because I want to tell you that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross for you. If you were the only person on the planet, He'd have done it for you. He died on a cross, was buried in a barred tomb. He resurrected that you might have eternal life. But there is a stipulation. You must trust him. He offers salvation to you as a free gift, but you must receive it. Will you take the free gift of salvation paid for by Jesus Christ? Well, how do you do that? You know what? It's you, first of all, realizing that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. See, the Holy Spirit does the conviction, not the preacher. So you already know that if you're lost. And he's already working in your heart. It's not rubbing off from the person beside you. That's your conviction. So what are you going to do about it? If today is the day of salvation for you, listen, prayer is speaking with the Lord. You can just simply confess to him, Lord, today I realize I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save my soul. And help me live for you. Amen. And you know, if you did that and you meant it, he's got out the pen and he's writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, but that's not the end of it. You need to start following him. You need to start acting like a child of the king, not a child of the devil. He teaches you that in his word. Maybe you're here today and you have been so caught up. You have been so distracted. That devil, he's good at distraction, isn't he? And I've said it 1,000 times. You can even be so busy doing good things that you miss the best things God has for you. We can be so busy doing ministry that we can miss the reason why we do it. Do we care for people? Do we really love and care for people, or is it more about what we can do? Hey, we're online. People all over the world can see us today. Well, that's great. That's a great venue, but that's not why we do what we do. We do it because we love people. Do we love people like we should? You know what's sad? We don't love each other like we used to, do we? I mean, that's the way society's gone. We're just crotchety old grouches, aren't we? Even Christian people, even me, can be a little grouchy sometimes, right? What has God spoken to your heart today? Has he said, hey, look, you're investing in the temporal rather than the permanent. You can change it starting today. Where are you going to lay up your... And now, I'm not just preaching this sermon because we're taking a collection to go to Cuba and do ministry. That's not why I'm doing that. Because this is a lifelong thing. Yeah, that's part of it. But you ain't going to buy your way into heaven. Like I said, that's dirt up in heaven. Your money ain't no good there. Where are your treasures? I'm trying to pack foot lockers to go on up now. How about you? Maybe you just need to say, Lord, today I need a new start. Help me, Father. Help me to be what you want me to be. I know I'm your child. But Lord, help me not be distracted by the temporary things of this life. May you help me to invest in the permanent things of the kingdom. Help me with my time. Help me with my efforts. Help me with my finances. Help me with every aspect of my life to be kingdom focused rather than earthly focused. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, I will make you a promise. If you seek him, he will show you exactly what he wants you to do. And I want to dare you to try him, because when you try him, you will find that you will be blessed. You will find that your heart will smile. And you will also find that God has a way of like the oil in the pot. Brad, you guys, come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn. I love that that story in the Old Testament, if you remember the widow. And I love what happened. What did the prophet say to her? The prophet said, what do you have? And she said, all I have is this little pot of oil. And then he said, go out and collect as many vessels as you can. Remember, she got her sons involved in that. They went borrowing vessels from all over the place. And then it says that when she went into the room and shut the door, she began to pour from that little vessel into all of the other vessels. And it says that then when she filled that one up, she called her son and said, bring me another vessel. And he said, there aren't any more vessels. It says, then the oil went dry. Not until then. As long as she had vessels, the oil was filled. But did you also realize, too, there was a little caveat at the beginning of it. Go get pots, not just a few, as many as you can. What sort of anticipation of God's blessing are you expecting? Before the oil starts to pour, let's collect as many pots as we can. The more pots you got, the more pots he'll fill, I promise. Because God's given us that promise. The oil won't run dry till you run out of pots. What's your part? What will you do? Are you hedging your bets for the sake of the kingdom or for the sake of earth? Whatever decision God's placed on your heart, listen, if you trusted Christ, I'm going to just ask, please let us know that. We want to celebrate with you. You're a new family member. You know, we're not going to sit here and put you on the spot or anything like that. I mean, we want to have a good time celebrating with you and also help get you started on a path of growing closer to the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you just need a good old-fashioned altar. We got one. If you just need the time to come up there and lay it all on the altar before him, that's cool. If you want to speak with me, I'm here. I'll pray with you, whatever you need. This is the time that God has moved in your life. Do not allow Satan to have you focused on the temporary. Oh, there's lunch and we're supposed to meet people and all. They'll wait. This is important. What will you do today with what the Holy Spirit has given you? This is a time to do it as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and you do business with God softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Is he important enough for you to do something with today? Is he important enough for you to answer? Will you do that? As you continue to seek him, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, as we continue our worship in giving back to you, I pray that we will truly be found faithful in doing so. Lord, you want to bless us more than we could ever imagine, but Father, you've asked us to do a few things as well. Lord, help us not to miss your blessing because we haven't followed what you've asked us to do.
Now, Lord, when we come to this time to give back to you that which you have blessed us with, just a small portion is all you ask. Lord, help us to be found faithful in doing so, that you may push back the boundaries and extend in our lives your blessing in such a fashion that when you call on us, we will be there for whatever cause and whatever need you may have. Bless, Lord, this offering. Bless the gift and bless the giver, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Man, thank you, Vicky. Just a couple quick things before we get you out of here. This week, birthdays coming up on Tuesday, Nancy Seavers. So if you have an opportunity, send Nancy a card. I know she'd love to hear from you. She's got a birthday coming up this Tuesday. And then on Thursday, Diane Bloxham and Helen Ledford will be celebrating birthdays. Another trip around the sun. And then this coming Saturday, Nancy Tuttle will actually be celebrating her birthday. So once again, if you send cards, if you know those people, do text message, email, just anything just to say, hey, look, I want to recognize you on your special day. Then anniversaries, this coming Saturday is Vivian and Gary Wells. And then on Wednesday, Brad and Lachelle. She's put up with you for almost 37 years. Wow, God is good. There's a picture of Grace right there. We don't know what Lachelle did so wrong that she got punished with being with Brad for so long. But nonetheless, happy anniversary to you folks as you prepare to celebrate that this week. Just a few things. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. And again, there's a few seats left. So if you can, if it's time for you to start focusing this way, there's a seat for you. That's 5 o'clock Bible study in here, 6 o'clock with David Miller. D-Life, my men's discipleship group that meets at 3:30 here at the church. If you're part of that D-Life group, 3:30 today. Band rehearsal at 7, following David's, whenever David cuts you loose. Let's put it that way. Awana is at 5:30. It's a normal time. And then every Wednesday, if you have an opportunity, the men get together and have a breakfast over at the Olympic in Colfax at 10 o'clock. That's kind of a brunch. I guess you can get maybe whichever one you want. And it's just a time of fellowship. There's not an agenda. You can talk to Bill Gray. I know Bill goes, and he enjoys, eating off of the menu that his wife has for him. And All of us kind of do that, but then we have a good old time of fellowship around. But at any rate, that is at 10 o'clock every Wednesday. Also, as a reminder, next Sunday we will be having communion. So I want to let you know that. We'll be serving communion in our worship service next Sunday. And I'm sure there's probably some other things that I've forgotten, but David might let you know if there is or if there's not, as he comes to dismiss us in a word of prayer.
There is an article in our bulletin today about North Carolina Baptist Missions. I'd love for you to read. If you didn't get one and read it. God has blessed North Carolina Baptists, and we have given more than in the last 2 years compared to the budget that we had for the convention than we have in decades. So maybe that's inflation. I don't know. I hope I'm believing it's a commitment. For North Carolina Baptist to do missions, and I'm so thankful for it. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, we know that we're not going to live forever, and we know that we're not going to take anything with us when we leave. God, help us. Help us to spend our life serving you and loving your people and loving lost people and doing missions for your honor and your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.